How's family today? Look at somebody nearby and say, how you is? I see some of y'all stashed some of the regulars somewhere. But I'm glad you're here today. I pray that today I'll be able to communicate to you the importance of the message that I'm going to share with you on the benefits of resurrection. As the ushers put the notes in your hands, I want you to grab your pen or pencil, and I want you to make notes on your notes, because I pray that what I say this day will be enlarged to you. And will become enlarged within you. The Word of God said, let the Word dwell, take up residence, live in you richly. God never intended for believers to memorize Scripture. Memorizing Scripture is a futile effort that does very little good. Meditating the Scripture was God's will. And to meditate the Scripture, we've got to take it apart. I can tell you, during 7 months of laying flat on my back, I took a lot of Scriptures apart. Yeah. And I would think about, what does it really mean to me? Because when your life is depending on what you believe, when your life is depending on what you believe, you reach deeper into the reserve to find out everything that's inscribed and hidden there. And I want to tell you something. Whether you recognize it or not, your life depends on what you believe. What I've learned to believe from God's Word has allowed me to withstand financial attacks and strains. What I have come to believe has allowed me to have eternal security in my Redeemer. And I know I have pressed a lot, but I want you to really let it come alive in you that you never want to be a person who is saved. You want to be a person who is born again. A born-again person realizes that in resurrection, our Redeemer, the one who went to the cross to forgive us of our sins, came forth from the grave to give us the ability to rule in life as kings and priests. The resurrection is just as important as the crucifixion. Because if he wasn't raised from the dead, we have no salvation. And this week I was meditating on the benefits of resurrection. And for it to really take hold, we have to realize that when he burst forth from the grave, in that moment he seized the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Wonderful. But he also, by defeating death, hell, and the grave, became Lord. We sometimes say our champion, and we don't really recognize that he rendered a knockout blow on sickness, disease, poverty, sin, grief, sorrow, all of the things that would oppose you living a victorious life. He beat the snot out of it when he was raised from the dead. And because he is Lord over it, and you are one with him in his lordship, they're under your feet.
Amen.
But a defeated foe can destroy you if you let him. The devil has but one weapon to work with, and that's called a lie. Now, that lie sometimes comes in the form of deception, misinterpretation, failure to amplify. I said failure to amplify because, Rudy, if I think he went to the cross for my sins, I'm a fool. He didn't go to the cross for my sins. That was one of the benefits. He went to the cross to defeat the enemies of God. What are the enemies of God? We already talked about them. Sickness is an enemy of God. Is it in heaven?
No.
Will he let it in there?
No.
Poverty?
No.
Lack?
No.
Worry, fear, torment?
No.
All of those are enemies of God. He went to the cross. Jesus said, one of my main missions in coming to earth is to destroy the works of Satan. Well, Pastor, he didn't do a very good job. Have you seen Vegas lately? Have you seen a home where that he has made Lord? They don't have hookers running around. They don't have drugs on the coffee table. Are you listening? In a house where he's Lord, they don't have sickness and disease. Oh, he comes knocking, but they don't react to it. They respond to it. In his lordship, we received many things that we did not get because he was the dying Savior. We got them because he is the resurrected Lord. And if you only see him, that's why I hate a crucifix so much. I hate crucifixes. If you got one, don't let me see it. I will look ugly at you. On a bad day, I may say something naughty. No true believer ever wears a crucifix. Well, Pastor, you said I can't wear a cross. No, no, no. You should wear a cross and it should be empty. But it should never be a white cross. White cross is witchcraft. Yet I see churches that have a white cross and they think that's great. No, the white stands for purity, virgin. A virgin cross ain't no cross at all. Ours is blood stained. We have a red cross because the blood stained that cross in sacrifice. God raised him up in victory. Spend time meditating what belongs to you because of the resurrection. Now, if you got your notes, we're going to leap into them. Did you get your pen out? I see some people did. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread. Many people call this the Last Supper. It was not the Last Supper. It was the preparatory supper. Because he said, I will eat this meal with you again. But it'll be in the kingdom. Yes, Pastor Jim, someday when we get to heaven. No, no, no. If you understand the benefits of resurrection, Scott, every time we take communion, it's in the kingdom. Because God raised him from the dead to be king of all. If we have a king, and the earth and the fullness thereof are the Lord's, then we have a kingdom. And every time you take communion, I believe that he is taking it with us because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, not to the end of the age. Mm-hmm. So, Roy, when we lift the cup today, he's involved in our communion because he said, this do in remembrance of me. We're celebrating what he did for us. And he's joining us in that celebration. That's why I tell people, keep a bottle of Welch's grape juice in the refrigerator. Keep some saltine crackers. Well, can't I just use, you know, bread? No, because it's leavened and that speaks of deception. Get a saltine cracker. Get some matzo bread or, you know, there's lots of things you can get that don't have leaven in them. Get a Ritz cracker if you want to. But realize that what I'm celebrating is my victory over death, hell, and the grave, not the fact that I'm forgiven of sins. Because I could be forgiven of my sins, and the whole world could go to hell. If the whole world went to hell, it wouldn't change the fact that I had accepted forgiveness of my sin. But church, I learned that that ain't enough. Not accepting forgiveness of sin, it's just not enough. You've got to accept lordship. Amen. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that he is Lord, Lord of what? Sickness. Therefore, it can't rule me. Lord of poverty. Therefore, it can't bind me. Lord of grief and sorrow. Therefore, they cannot contain me. Is he your Lord or is he your Savior? There's a mile of difference. There are a lot of people in the church suffering because they've got a Savior, but they don't have a Lord. And if he is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. A king cannot be a king if there's something in his kingdom that's not subject to him. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." From the very beginning, he wants us to be conscious that he wants to be in us. So that when you're taking communion and you take that cracker, that piece of broken cracker, you are once again taking him in by faith. No, I'm not talking transubstantiation and that it actually becomes his flesh when you eat it. That's some cannibalism. No, I'm talking about an unleavened cracker is the essence of the earth. The nitrogen, the proteins, the salts, everything that's in the earth is in that cracker. He was one with that earth. Now that I take that into me, I am taking a substance into me that represents him. Unleavened, not puffed up, just as it is. And when I take that cup, it doesn't become his blood, but it reminds me that I'm joining him in his death, burial, and resurrection. I'm joining him in his substitutionary sacrifice. I am now joining him in his lordship because it doesn't stop with what he did 2,000 years ago. Patrick, it's what he's doing today. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you." Covenant, a blood-based contract or agreement between two or more persons which cannot be broken or changed. A contract can be amended, broken, challenged, annulled, but a blood covenant can't be. Originally, if we were going to enter a blood covenant, I would take and I would sever a bloodline on my hand. And my brother would take and sever a bloodline on his. And then we would let our blood mingle. Can you unmingle mixed blood?
No.
If he had AIDS or leprosy or anything else, I've got it now. If I had some sickness or hereditary disease, it's in my blood. He's got it now. Oh, church, you're not thinking ahead of me, Ethel. When I receive communion, I'm commingling my blood with his, and therefore everything he has, I have.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
He didn't say, I'm going to make a contract. I'm going to, let's make a deal. You receive me and I'll forgive you. No, no, no. He said, let's commingle our blood. Every time you take that cup, you are symbolically and by faith. By faith, you're receiving all that he is in his lordship into you. I'm not receiving pre-cross blood. I'm receiving post-resurrection blood. Church, sometimes one of the greatest things that could happen to you is be incapacitated where you just have to think and meditate. And things begin to explode inside you, Demetrius. And they get so big you want to scream it out. But you know, if somebody hasn't gone through it, they won't understand it. But every time I take communion, I understand this. I am taking his body because he is the essence of all that is in the earth. The earth in its fullness came out of him. So when I take something the earth has produced, I am taking something he produced. And when I come to the cup, and I take the cup, he did communion very thoughtfully. He didn't just go, hey, here's a thought. Why don't you take some juice and crackers and we'll be one. No, he said, you're taking my essence in that cracker and you're commingling our blood together because my blood went onto the earth. And when it went into the earth, it comes back at the grape. Every time I take this cup, I'm commingling his blood and my blood to remind me that we are one. Not we are one. That can be divided. We are one. His essence is in me. Every time you come to communion, you should get excited. I'm afresh and anew, remembering that his body bought everything I need. His blood atoned for everything I want. And now that I receive him into me, not only am I seated at the right hand of God with him, he is in me, living through me. He wants to walk in me. He wants to talk in me. He wants to lay hands with me. Communion is a celebration of remembering what became the new covenant believers' inheritance. Because he prevailed for us. What did I inherit in the resurrection? I inherited everything that his death, burial, and resurrection provided. Sonship, heirship. I'm an inheritor. I'm a child of God. This first verse of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 13, 14, should be 2 Corinthians 13 and 4. So whip out your dagger and read it with me. For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, our inability. He was crucified in his human form to represent our human form, so that in his resurrected form he would represent our newness of life. Oh, church, I could quit now and you've already gotten revelation, but I'm not going to, so you can forget it. For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, ours, yet he lives because of the power of God. And because he lives, I live in that same power. I'm connected. For we also are weak in him, yet we will live with him. Because of the power of God directed towards you. And we're reminded of that power every time we come to the communion table. Our weakness covered by his faithfulness and the power of the Holy Spirit of truth to perform the word on our behalf. We have newness of life through his resurrection. Romans 6:4. Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death. I joined his death in my water baptism, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. I don't have to walk the way I used to, bound by sin, sickness, disease, and poverty. I can walk free from them, and I can laugh in their face.
Amen.
Communion draws us back to remember what he made possible for us. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, because my blood is being mingled with your blood. And my blood, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Oh, yes, he suffered. No. He bought my liberty. He was raised up for my justification. In his resurrection, I have life and that more abundantly. In his resurrection, I have victory over poverty, over the devil, over demons, over grief and sorrow and fear and doubt and unbelief. Our new life in him raises us up to his level. Now that his blood is in me and I'm seated with him, we are one. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. Yes, Pastor Jam, someday in the resurrection, I'll be raised. No. If you get a hold of what communion is, Judith, we're raised up right now over sin, sickness, and disease. We're raised up right now over death, hell, and the grave. We're raised up right now, and we live from a realm of power, not from a realm of desperation. Too many Christians are living in a realm of desperation. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, bless me. Oh, God, get me. Oh, God, can I? In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. Therefore, we look down on sin. We look down on temptation. We look down on grief and sorrow. They're beneath us.
Amen.
Why should I be held captive by a midget? God didn't make me 6'4 to be ruled over by a 2-foot midget. Why? Because I'm looking down on it. Are you seated with him?
Yes.
Are you looking down on these things as being beneath you, outside your inheritance? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also is vain." My new life doesn't depend on his death and burial. My new life depends on him bursting forth from the grave triumphant and having defeated death, having defeated hell and the grave, having defeated fear and torment. Because he lives, I live, not because he died. But the devil wants you to concentrate on he died. He wants you to see a crucifix with him still on the cross suffering. I don't want to remember a suffering Lord. I want to remember a victorious champion. We have access to every blessing the Holy Spirit can convey. We have access through faith to every blessing. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I used to read past that verse, Ken, and then the Lord directed me to back up. And sometimes, Jan, the Lord says, back it up. And we back it up and we look again. I am blessed to live in America. And I'm blessed to know that there's a Pentagon where there are generals who, when the administration gets off their back, can defeat any enemy on the face of the earth. So I don't look at the world through Uganda's threatening us again. Venezuela is saying they're going to take us captive. Yeah, them and what army? Are you listening, church? So when I look at this, my point of authority is heavenly places far above all principality and power. I am blessed from headquarters, not from the market. We are through His blood blameless in the Father's sight. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and what?
Blameless.
Do you get that? Marilyn O'Connor is blameless before God. Why? Because she received His lordship. Damon O'Brien is blameless before God, although Tara could tell you a few things. We are adopted into the divine family through His triumphant, sinless blood. He predestined us to adoption through Jesus Christ. When He was raised, I was raised. According to the kind intention of His will, God intended to be good to me. He's not intending to judge me. God's going to get you for that. My God doesn't have a two before waiting to whack me. My God intended me to be blessed and paid an awesome price so that I could be.
Amen.
He opened our understanding to grasp what is now ours in His atonement. As you begin to meditate, you don't have to know the answers. Many times I enter into meditation and I don't have a clue as to what the answer is going to be. But I began to meditate. With His stripes I was healed. Was, that's past tense. That means my healing has already occurred. I'm not trying to get healed. My healing already exists. I need to now by faith accept what already exists. I can't see it with my natural eyes, but my spiritual eyes are already beholding the glory of being free. He made known to us the mystery of His will. Now, is that future tense or present tense or past tense? He made past tense. Napoleon, all the knowledge you'll ever need has already been made available to you in the Anointed Redeemer. So as I meditate on the Anointed Redeemer, that fullness of revelation overtakes me. We have a royal inheritance through His resurrection. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. He wants you to know you're rich now. I'm not waiting for pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. Hon, I want it now. There is no place you can't go if by faith you can see yourself going there. We are sealed with Him in resurrection life. What does sealed mean? Patsy goes to the Rexall and she gets a bottle of pills. And it said, if seal is broken, do not take. Because as long as that seal is intact, the quality of the product is assured. But if the seal is broken, I was sealed with the Holy Spirit, Rob. He can't be broken. Therefore, what He provided for me is intact. It can't spoil. It doesn't have a date where it expires is no longer effective. Asia, my inheritance, my salvation, my healing, my joy, my peace, my grace is sealed. And there isn't a power great enough to break that seal, because that same Holy Spirit made everything that is. That same Spirit raised Christ from the dead. Do you think I can break that seal with a shucky darn? I mean, I can cuss the cat until my mouth is full of fur, and it don't matter. The seal can't be broken. In him also, having listened to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the message of truth, the message the Holy Spirit inspires and it comes alive in you. I am redeemed. Having also believed, you were sealed with him in the Holy Spirit of promise. What promise? I promise you eternal life. I promise you health, wealth, joy, peace, power, might, authority over Satan. We are redeemed from poverty and lack through his resurrection. The Word of God says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the unmerited favor, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." He gave it all up so we can have it all. Communion reminds me, he gave it all up so I can have it all. Healing belongs to the believer through his resurrection. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, obtained in his resurrection. For by his wounds you were healed. We have new hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again unto a living hope. A living hope, not a dead hope, a living hope. It's alive today and working for me. Through what? His suffering? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Communion says victory. We have eternal life, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him, and it ain't master over me. I can't die. But Pastor, it's appointed a man who wants to die, and after that, the judgment. Yes, I died in him. I don't have to die anymore. I may change addresses. Forgiveness of sin. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. No, I'm free. The Holy Spirit is now ours. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, that's where I'm seated. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. His resurrection made the infilling of the Holy Spirit possible for us today. I'm free from condemnation. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who also intercedes for us. Today, at God's right hand, Yeshua HaMashiach of God is interceding for Scott. Yes, he's praying that he doesn't fall into sin and lose out. No. He's interceding for everything that's in Scott's heart to have, to know, to do, and to be. He's praying harder for us than we are for ourselves. Our union with him is eternal. I hope I don't lose my salvation. Hun, it's impossible to lose your salvation. You have to throw it away. Pastor, that sounds like a Baptist doctrine. They didn't get it all wrong. They just didn't go far enough. I don't want Mexican jumping bean religion. Every time I have an evil thought, he jumps out. Every time I say a careless word, he jumps out. No, he said, I come to abide with you forever. That's eternity. That's past this life. But it's also the crowning of this life. Because I know I'm not dependent upon what's going on in the world. I'm dependent upon what's seated in heaven. Because he is risen, we are sealed with him in the heavenly realm. Because he dies no more, we rule and reign with him in life as kings and priests. Covenant life is the believer's reward. Communion celebrates our victory in him. Well, it's not that important. If I missed a page, I missed a page. You got enough on the first page to last you eternity. I want you to do something different today. I want you to, everybody come into the center aisle, and I want you to come up and I want you to take communion, and some of you go over there, and some of you go over here, and I want you to hold your cup and your cracker until it's time. Holding your cracker is not a white person next to you. It's a small thing in your hand. You'll get that before you get home. So if you would, step into the center aisle and then come forward. And as you do, take the emblems and go to one side or the other and hold your emblems until we can together partake. This is scriptural. The Word of God says they waited on one another. When you've received these emblems and you're waiting to partake of it, look at that broken cracker. Look at that cup of juice, unfermented wine. Pastor, can I take communion with fermented wine? Of course you can. Just be careful about the size of the cup. Jesus drank fermented wine. If you have a problem with it, then don't drink it. But recognize, I'm celebrating not only his death and burial, I'm celebrating his resurrection. I'm celebrating the fact that I have victory over death, hell, and the grave. I have victory over poverty. I have victory over being alone. I have victory over being cursed. Because of communion, I am eternally blessed. This communion represents to me a new hope that I have in him. It's perfectly all right to come around the front here. You don't have to go back down the aisles. I want us to be where we can be with one another. Because we are family and we are engaging in a family blessing. Resurrection life lives in you through faith. Resurrection life is empowered to you through his resurrection. You are one with him in death. You're one with him in life. Therefore, you are one with him in ruling from heaven's throne. Today you're in the presence of the Most High God. And as you take communion, you're taking into yourself afresh and anew. I am commingling all that he is with all that I am so that we are stronger and more empowered than ever before. Pastor, couldn't they have just passed it out and it would have been quick? I don't want it to be quick today. I want you to think about what you're doing. I'm not grabbing a cracker and juice. This is not an appetizer to speed off to lunch. This is a remembrance of my victory, of my triumph, over my being raised from sickness, over my being raised from sin and death, over my being raised from any containment that the earth can offer. And as I take these emblems, I should remember He won for me. David, I don't have to fight the battle of sin. I don't have to fight the battle of sickness. I don't have to fight the battle of poverty. I have to revel in His victory. I have to celebrate His triumph, because each time I celebrate, listen, I'm saying, Queen, devil, you can't hold me. Devil, you can't keep me. This reminds me of my victory. I am victorious through His blood and through His broken body. I don't have to suffer what He suffered. I put it under my feet. Now repeat with me. Our Lord and Redeemer was raised from the dead, triumphant over all that opposes us. In His Lordship, I am sealed. In His Lordship, I am triumphant. In His Lordship, I am the redeemed. Today I celebrate my victory. I rejoice as I commingle His essence with mine. We are one. Pastor, the bread is hard, the juice is bitter, but the victory is sweet.
Amen.
We remember the bitterness, but we celebrate the triumph.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you. Daddy God, I lift this people before You, and I call them the blessed of the Lord, in whom the Lord is blessed, none can curse. I pastor the wealthiest group of people in the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. Our people have jobs when no one else has jobs, bonuses when no one else has bonuses, raises when no one else has raises. Our people lack no good thing. They walk in the power of Your resurrection, and they talk in the victory of Your triumph. They are blessed of You, and I convey that blessing this day. God bless you.